Good morning and welcome to Monday morning, April the 22nd in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we begin Year B, the fifth Sunday of Easter. And on the Monday of the week, we'll usually spend some time in the Old Testament passage that comes from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary and this week of the church's calendar year. But during the season of Easter, they sub those out for passages from the book of Acts. So today we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making this part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. "Get up and go south," he said. "Go to the desert road that runs down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he went up and went. Lo and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, who was in charge of her whole treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way back home. He was sitting in the chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. "Go up and join his chariot," said the Spirit to Philip. So Philip ran up and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. "Do you understand what you are reading?" he asked. "How can I?" he replied, "unless someone gives me some help." So he invited Philip to get up and sit beside him. The biblical passage he was reading was this one. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shears, so does he not open his mouth. In his humiliation, judgment was taken away from him. Well, who can explain his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth." "Tell me," said the eunuch to Philip, "who is the prophet talking about, himself or somebody else?" Then Philip took a deep breath and, starting from this biblical passage, told him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. "Look," said the eunuch, "here is some water. What's to stop me from being baptized?" So he gave orders for the chariot to stop, and both of them went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch together, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him anymore, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, turned up in Azotus. He went through all the towns, announcing the good news, until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God for us. All right, there's so much we could say. This is one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts because there are so many themes that I find so provocative for the church today. So let's just try to keep myself constrained a little bit here for the sake of brevity. But one thing that's really neat about this passage is that we believe that this was the first convert. This is what tradition says, that this is the first convert that went back and took the gospel to Africa and was probably the first one to help start up the Coptic Church, which is one of the oldest continuing gathering body of believers in Christian history. And so they, by tradition's sake, they trace their lineage back to this guy. And it's a neat story. And I think what's neat about that is that eunuchs weren't really prized people in this culture and time. Not to go into all the details, but they had something happen to them, which that's the only thing that qualified them for a service before royalty. They didn't want somebody to take advantage of somebody who's prominent in a moment of vulnerability. And so they would make all these folks eunuchs. And because of that, we're kind of in between categories in regards to gender. And I'm just going to leave it there. I mean, the When I Rise audience is broad. It's big. So let's just leave that there. But we do have these passages from the Old Testament that would ban such a person from holy activity. Okay, if a person was a eunuch in classification, they would not be allowed in close proximity to the Holy of Holies at all. They would be banned from it. And in the older parts of the Old Testament, there's this sense where this person is accursed. There's something wrong with them because of this, because they can't, you know, contribute to the growing nation of Israel, right? But then we get these prophetic utterances about the new age to come. This is kind of waning parts of Isaiah, that even eunuchs would be allowed into the service of God, the presence of God, the temple of God. And so there is a change, there's a development. at least an openness for folks like this person. And so there's a sense where maybe this person is reading Isaiah because they're reading up on this. But it just so happened that whenever Philip had this appointment with this person, that they were reading a passage that the Christian church, early Christian theologians, and then Christians every generation afterwards, we look at some of these utterances from Isaiah and the prophets, and we begin to wonder if Isaiah wasn't beginning to see something that we would see more clearly at the time of Jesus, right? So Christian apologists and preachers, they would use this as a sign that God was always going to be redeeming, and he was going to pay the price for the redemption. And I think that's why this Ethiopian eunuch was having a hard time. And I just love the way that the King of New Testament renders this. How can I know unless somebody helps me? And I think that's true. And maybe this is where I want to land on it today. My friend Matt and I, on our show Trending that we do for church, we had this conversation about how the Bible is used in contemporary American culture, how it seems that people just kind of pick and choose passages, like a crane, one of those toy cranes that gets stuffed animals out of the crane game or whatever. They just kind of pluck, I'm going to pluck this verse, and I'm going to have it say what I want it to say for the thing that I already believe and consider, right? And so I just love this posture of this guy. Instead of saying, I think I'm going to run with this on my own. What a great posture, coming to the text and saying, how can I understand unless somebody helps me, right? Here's the deal, the Bible has been given to the hands of the people in our common language, and that's a good thing. And at the same time, in a paradox, the Bible was not written to us, we weren't its primary audience. Now, in a mystery, God still speaks words of God through the pages of the Bible, the Word of God. And I think the question that we must grapple with is not, how do we make sense of all this? Is there a unity of the Bible? I had to take that course in seminary, had quite the killer professor for that. He was awesome. And it was breathtaking, the things that he taught us, as he tried to do a golden thread of scripture from beginning to end. But it's a long and winding road. And so what I love is that the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, he has this rhetorical question about the Word of God failing. And I think that that's the category that should matter the most for us. Is this Word, what can this Word do? Instead of maybe getting into these squabbles about lesser things about the text, I think the thing that we should marvel at about the Bible is that it seems to be the best source from age to age, generation after generation, among the learned and the unlearned, the rich and the poor of the world. It makes us the people of God. It is inspired, it gives life, and it makes us the people of God. Therefore, we rejoice. I think it was the Reformers who said, they begin to talk about the efficacy of Scripture. And it has this great effect that when the Bible is taken off the shelf, it's opened and it's preached and taught and it's read and poured over and it's discussed. Not only are we gaining knowledge about its contents, but we're also being transformed in a way. It's something that takes a hold of us. I love the way there's a scholar last name Abraham. He talks about inspiration. And he says, imagine being in a math class and it's in the middle of algebra. It's like the doldrums of algebra, right? And all of a sudden, as you close your textbook, you close up your notes, and everybody else is filing away, there's something that calls deep within you that you would love to teach math someday, right? Nothing directly from that lecture on algebra should communicate to you or to me that we're called to teach math, but it's something harbored in the activity of algebra, the activity of math, that gives us vocation and agency. I think the same thing happens with the scripture text. As we try our best to unearth its ancient voice, as we listen to what others have said through scholarship, as we read it together in public worship and listen to teaching and preaching and discuss it further with our families and friends in the hallways of the church and all the way home, and maybe in small groups if you have a chance. We're gaining knowledge. We're learning how to do the algebra equation, right? We're learning how to do the math problem. But something else is calling out to us, and it's more, it's like that tacit knowledge that Michael Pagliani talked about. We know more than we can say. We just open up our minds one day and say, no, I want to start, instead of just listening to sermons, I want to start helping in the church. I'm good at administration, so I want to kind of get on an admin team, or I just love seeing kids thrive. So I want to work in kids ministry. Or people say, you know, I loved how I was taught the Bible, and I would always have these other ideas of how we could share the same thing. And so maybe this person's called to teach and preach, and we can send them off to seminary to where they can get trained and for pastoral work and church work, right? So like something's happening underneath. It's like the bass note of all of this activity. We're being inspired. Like there's an effect that it's having upon the people of God. And so I love that. This text that he couldn't quite understand, this eunuch from Ethiopia, like he needs someone to help him. So he wanted to sit down, he wanted to learn. He humbled himself. And as he humbled himself, he was able to learn, and he heard wonderful words of life. And he's like, what prevents me from being baptized? And like Philip's like, well, mate, there's a lot of things. Like there's certain things about you that might keep you out of fellowship in some Jewish communities. But to Philip was listening to the Spirit, and the Spirit was saying, well, nothing is preventing this guy from being baptized and being a part of the fellowship, right? So I just think this is what the Bible does. We pick it up and we go through the discipline of reading, studying, and sharing. And all of a sudden it like works within us. We hear the bass note of the redemptive plan of God, and then it calls us to respond, right? I think that's why I love doing this with our eyes. Like we go round and round on the wheel of the lectionary, and we go into like, you know, these deep like taunt songs of Jeremiah, right? And then we go to Psalm 23 again and again, and we go to these, you know, well-known passages. And I hope over time, as we reflect and give some space each day, like we just recognize the Word of God's not failing, because it always makes us the people of God, right? So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we rejoice that today's a new day. You fill our lungs with breath, and you fill our minds with things that we begin to imagine and get passionate about. We thank you that we are called to schools and to workplaces and to relationships today where we can follow you and be the people of God. And so today, Lord, I am just overwhelmed by the story, how you plucked Philip from one ministry moment to reach out to this one guy out in the wilderness on a dusty road in order to allow him to read the Word of God and to have it have a great effect on him. God, I thank you that at some point down the road, all of us in our past, somebody sat down and they taught us, and our minds were open because of the scripture text. And I thank you that in your wisdom, you will use us to share those wonderful words of life to other people. And so God, this day, may we do so with gentleness and respect as you ask us. And we just simply pray that we might have these type of moments between Philip and the eunuch from Ethiopia, to where we can marvel at how you're transforming and searching after people. And so we could be reminded once again of your great big plan to heal all the universe until all of it is mended and made back whole. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.